Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Boomer could say whatever the f*** he wants. I could give a shit, right? That's the f***ing issue. I don't need to talk to Nick Saban about his injuries, but he don't know a thing about the draft. He's got Jason Lacafora on his show on Sunday mornings. Read the book. Lombardi's full of shit. He wrote a book. Okay, great. But he sits there like he's some pope on a high mountain because he works for WFAN. Like, I give a shit. I don't go on TV when he says something absolutely stupid on Sunday morning. What the fuck are you talking about?
Man works blue, doesn't he, Rich?
I mean, he's an angry elf. The South Pole elf.
I don't know about that.
Temperature just went up 10 degrees.
I will say I like the passion. Some of it might be a little misdirected. I don't know. Maybe he's dealing with something else. But as far
as a podcast, you can say some of that stuff here.
Podcast, you know, Twitter, whatever you want. Let it fly. On the radio, you got to kind of bleep it.
Sometimes the bleed green postgame show works blue.
Oh, you should. I don't see why not. You're allowed to in that medium.
When you get a little yeah. angry at times. Yep. That's Mike Lombardi. Gridiron genius, who if you're a Patriots fan, if you're Jermaine Wiggins and you're a Cam Newton fan, or Stan might be the proper word. We'll get into that
yeah,
later.
He's
on.
He's a Stan, all right.
He's a Stan. If you're a Jermaine Wiggins, Cam Newton apologist, a guy who wanted to give him $130 million on the plane on the way home from Seattle, I think.
Yeah.
Wiggy had to be very excited to hear what Mike Lombardi said about Cam Newton's future with the Patriots.
Cam's going to end up signing an extension in New England. They can't let Cam go. I mean, where are you going to get somebody like that? Like, seriously. Yeah, I know they fell 1 yard short, but, I mean, they're learning about Cam just like Cam's learning about them. I mean, Cam's a legitimate top 10 quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah,
I don't – tell me the lie.
Yeah, I don't think that there is one. I mean, I think – they definitely need him. I agree with that completely. They needed him back in March, April, May, June, and they didn't get him then, and then he was still available somehow, and they were able to get him. So maybe that's kind of dumb luck, but now that you have him, you can't let him go.
He'll be here next year no matter what, because let's be honest, if they can't come up with some sort of an agreement to extend him, I think Belichick will just franchise him anyway.
Yeah, and if you're willing to pay him the franchise money, you're already pretty close to some kind of
well, and combined
deal.
With this year's, you know, bargain basement amount.
Yeah, you're not paying him anything this
over
year.
Over a two year span, you're saying, hell, that's a good price for a top 10 quarterback. I'll pay that.
Yeah, and I think the key is, you know, they just need to see him stay healthy and stay on the field. And
yep.
at that point, I think you would want to keep him. I mean, he's in his early 30s. He's got football left in him. This isn't like the Colts taking Phillip Rivers or the Bucks taking Tom Brady and kind of wondering, all right, how long is this going to last? You have a longer shelf life potentially with Cam. And Lombardi was also one of the first guys, I believe, like in April, talking about Cam would be a good fit with the Pats, right? I think he was
yes.
one of those guys, and you're like, it makes a lot of sense. And we're like, yeah, it does. How come it's not happening? And, you know, months go by, and then boom, they got him. So I don't even know. Maybe he has some inside information on it. His kid's on the staff, for God's sakes. He knows Belichick. But, yeah, what are their alternatives? They're not going to be bad enough to pick Trevor Lawrence or Justin
no.
Fields or Trey Lance. They're also, I don't think, want to turn it over to Jarrett Stidham, who has gotten worse, apparently. He was the backup last year. He's the third-string quarterback this year. So it feels like he has
lost
regressed.
His job to Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, he's regressed. That's what it seems like. They cut Brian Hoyer last year in favor of, or no, they traded him. But
yeah,
they, but
same thing. Yeah, they got rid of him.
They got rid of
him
for, or did they cut him? Whatever. He was gone. For Jarrett Stidham. And now this year, Stidham's behind him. So I don't think they want to turn the job over to him. And then you get into who are the free agent quarterbacks next year. you're better off keeping Cam. Teams, show me the successful team that has three different starting quarterbacks in three different years. Like, that's not how you run a successful team.
No, I mean, unless it, you know, like New Orleans, where you have an injury and Bridgewater comes in and goes 4-0, you know, replacing Drew Brees. But no,
but as far as like, yeah, your set starter,
right?
It should be the same guy. And then if that guy either he retires or you make a decision that you don't want him anymore, then you bring somebody else, and then it's that guy. It's you can't do it like running back. You could probably do it, you know, certain spots even on the defense, you could probably do it, but not a quarterback. You need to lock that guy in.
Given his injury history, concerns about Cam Newton being able to stay healthy, you brought it up a moment ago, legit question about whether he can stay healthy. Our buddy Matt Chatham, though, made an interesting point on Twitter about that, in that in this day and age of the way the quarterback is protected, you can be a running quarterback and stay healthy probably better than any time in NFL history. You get to decide when you get hit or not. You know, he's smart enough to not take those kill shots. Russell Wilson, the same thing. It's frustrating if you're a defensive back, a linebacker. You know, you think you got him lined up, and boom, down he goes. They protect you in the pocket. They protect you when you run. If you're going to be a running quarterback, now, this isn't like Michael Vick or Randall Cunningham or something. This guy can stay healthy and still do it this way.
Well, it's the safest time to be a quarterback, but it was
You
know, it was safe last year and he played in two games. You know, so there's definitely still some concern as that goes. I also just think any quarterback who is the team's leading rusher, like, that's hard to do because
it probably says more about your running backs, though, than it does
maybe
about your quarterback.
But, I mean, Kyler Murray, I think, is the team. It's only two games, but Kyler Murray leads the Cardinals in rushing. And I love Kyler Murray. But you just wonder over the course of, and that's my same issue with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is an elite runner. He's a different kind of runner than even those other guys. But I just wonder how long you can do that for, because I know running backs get hit on every single play and they don't slide like quarterbacks do. But there's kind of a shelf life on running backs. I mean, they hit 29-30 and it's like, all right, thanks, and you're done now. So I just wonder if you're adding all of that on to them, like any player who is 70% of the offense or whatever it ends up being, like that's just, that alone is a toll. Even if you're smart about taking hits, because there's always going to be the late hit, there's always going to be a, you know, even if you get flagged, it doesn't mean you didn't get hit, doesn't mean it didn't hurt. So I don't know, it is a lot to do for 16 games and each and every week to be responsible for, you know, 30 throws where you could potentially get hit, another 10 rushes, these goal line carries, things like that. Like that's still a lot.
Former Patriots star Teddy Bruschi, NFL analyst, ESPN NFL analyst Teddy Bruschi, is a regular weekly guest on OMF. Yesterday, he joined the guys and talked about Cam Newton as well.
Oof. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? I mean, I can't. I listen to you guys, and I hear Wiggy talking about it, and you guys mention it and bringing up the sound and all that stuff. And I'm like, come on, man. It's just way too soon. I don't think it's – this is what I think Bill's having fun doing, having fun coaching again. I mean, just coaching to see what the best thing he can get out of a player that's new to him, that he knows he's still seeing how much he can take in terms of the offense and can he expand it, and having fun doing that type of thing. That's what Bill's thinking about right now after an abbreviated offseason and two games. For Bill to even make a commitment like that would be completely out of character, in my opinion.
So that was
about whether or not they would extend him now, because Wiggy wants to do it yesterday. Mike Lombardi, while he said they'll extend him, he certainly isn't talking about it now. I think Teddy's right. It's kind of the same tact we've taken here, Rich, where maybe at the bye week, maybe then, maybe at Thanksgiving or something.
Yeah, I don't know what the appetite is for Cam to get a deal done, or does he want to play out the season and then see how it is, right? Because we're always coming at it from the team side, like, oh, the team should do this. Or if he really wants to get a deal, like, well, you signed a one-year deal, and maybe we'll meet you halfway, which is halfway through the season, and if you're playing well through eight games or whatever, maybe we'll do it then. But as much as I love Cam, I'm not doing it now. You're going to have to pay him a lot anyway. I don't think he's going to just sit here and be like, oh, yeah, I'll take another bargain basement deal.
Well, Andy Hart said, what, like $70 million over 2 years or $75 million over 2 years? I think Cam's going to want more than 2 years.
Andy Hart said 3 for $80, Shyam? He said 3 for $80.
Yeah, somewhere around there makes more sense.
You know what's
interesting? With 50 of it guaranteed or something.
Yeah, I mean, something like that. What jumped out to me, too, before I forget, Teddy Bruschi saying that Bill's having fun coaching.
Yeah.
which is interesting because we always said, oh, Tom Brady wasn't having fun. But his point is Belichick wasn't having fun. Like, Belichick, now I know he doesn't come across as like he always is, but we know that he is. Like, he just loves football. Nobody loves football more than Belichick. But maybe he was even
and he
getting
loves
sick
being
of Brady.
A coach, too.
I think Teddy's kind of saying he was getting sick of Brady.
Well, and I think it's just that, you know, for a 19-year period, the offense was kind of on autopilot. You know, it's like, okay, this is what we do. This is what we're always going to do. We're these same pages out of the playbook.
Yeah.
Now, with the change, with the new direction, you get to do more stuff. Josh McDaniels gets to be more creative. I think Bill's creative juices are flowing. It's just, it gives him something different, something new.
But at the same time, you wouldn't want to then have something new again next year just because it's different. Like, right? Like, now it's Cam. It should be the Cam era for like a bit. It shouldn't be, hey, let's get somebody else in here and we can run something else altogether. We can go wishbone. Like, no, you're not going to do that just because it's new.
So Fitzy told us yesterday he thinks that Cam Newton is like the second guy in the MVP race in the National Football League.
Yeah, well, I think he wanted to say he was the MVP, and then he was
and
like,
then we talked him into
Wilson,
second.
And he's like, all right, he's second. And he was adamant that he was second in the MVP. Now it's through two games, so it's a little reckless,
a little premature.
Insane. And he's wrong about it.
No, he was totally wrong. But when we pointed that out to him, like he was tweeting out the interview with Keyshawn yesterday, I think, or who was it yesterday? Yeah, I think it was
Curran.
It was Tommy Curran. And he says, yeah, well, Tom agrees with me. No, he didn't.
No, I don't think he did. I don't think anybody did.
No, Fitzy, he didn't. No one did.
I don't think anybody did.
So the Action Network has the updated odds to win NFL MVP.
All right.
We'll be shocked to hear Russell Wilson's the favorite.
Yep. Russell Wilson's my number one. I also think if it's close this year, Russell Wilson's going to get it.
Because he's never gotten a vote.
Yeah, and all the media members are sick of hearing about how they've never voted for him. So if it's anywhere close, like unless somebody just throws 60 touchdown passes, it'll be Russell Wilson.
So they've got Russell Wilson at plus 300. He's the favorite. Tied for second at plus 500, they've got Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Probably fair.
I would get in on the plus 300 for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Then at plus 800, they've got Aaron Rodgers.
He's having a real good start.
He is. Plus 1,400, Kyler Murray.
I am all over that
I like the Kyler Murray one.
Popping off, and he has a terrible schedule ahead, like as in terrible opponents ahead of him.
Terrible as in great.
So he is going to continue to rip apart the NFL this
year. Oh, my Cardinals should be 5-0. They should be. If they're not, it'll be
your Cardinals.
My Cardinals. It'll be disappointing.
You're a Cardinals fan now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As soon as they got DeAndre Hopkins.
All right. So after Kyler Murray, you've got three guys tied at plus 2,000. Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Cam Newton.
Well, yeah. I mean, that sounds about right. So what did you say? They're tied for fifth, tied for sixth, something like that. That
makes
sense.
Tied for fifth. Yeah.
That's kind of where they are because they also. That's not just based on the 2 weeks, right? There's two different questions. There's like who's been the MVP of the league after 2 weeks, but then who also kind of projecting forward could be the MVP of the league. Because through 2 weeks, like Aaron Jones might be the MVP, but obviously it's going to go to a quarterback because it goes to a quarterback every year. So you also have to project, all right, what teams are going to be the winning quarterbacks? It always is going to be like a division winner. And it's funny because Josh Allen is the name that at the beginning of the year, if you said he was that high, you'd say kind of doesn't belong there, but he's actually been the second best player, I think, in football so far.
He has been. Then, following those three guys who are tied for fifth, in sixth, you've got at plus 2,800, Ben Roethlisberger.
He's been better than I thought.
He has.
He really has.
And then at plus 3,300, you've got Deshaun Watson and Tom Brady.
Where's Shime's guy? What happened?
Not on the list. His running back's ahead of him for some reason.
Well, his running back's better.
There's a
player.
Couple names where I don't understand.
He's more valuable.
I don't understand the value on some of these.
What's Tannehill's number? Are you going to bet it?
He's not on here.
Yeah, he's not even on the Action Network list right in front of us.
He's on the field. He's part of the field.
Yeah, field.
Yeah, take field. There are a lot of guys there. A whole bunch of guys.
Even Matt Ryan, who's like number two in every statistic passing-wise. I understand he's on an 0-2 team. Doesn't really help him.
Yeah.
But that 40-39 loss, not really on the offense.
I wonder, like, because don't you have to probably have at least 10 wins? Like, don't you think?
Yeah,
that's just
probably.
My guess. So, I
but
think
like,
Matt Ryan's
at like plus 4,000, the Atlanta Falcons get hot and win 10 games. Yeah. I mean, they could easily win 9.
But let's put it this way. Another way of looking at it. Through 2 weeks, in the year that Tom Brady is gone and you've had to replace Tom Brady, your quarterback has a better chance of winning the MVP than Tom Brady.
Yeah, you'll love to see that.
That's pretty crazy. I'll tell you what, if it was Jared Stidham, would not be that high on the list.
He'd be about plus 10,000.
Yeah, he'd be in the field.
The obvious note of interest for Patriots fans, obviously, is that your quarterback is favored over the former quarterback in the MVP list that the Action Network has put out. And there's a fairly significant gap between them right now, at least from a numbers perspective.
Yeah, and I think Brady will get it figured out. I don't think he'll look this bad, but I mean, that was the guy I thought was going to win the MVP, and they've gotten off to a weird start. Rob Gronkowski is not a part of the offense, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be a part of the offense. You may not see him again. Chris Godwin had a concussion, so I think he's going to be back this week, but who knows what you're going to get out of him. So it's been a little bit of a bumpy start for them. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with Cam Newton and how well he can continue, but he's definitely off to the better start.
I think the concerning thing with Brady, though, is the interceptions compared to anything else. Like, yeah, his stats aren't as high as you'd like them to be, but that may just be the gelling with new receivers. The worst part is that he's thrown three picks already, and it's only been 2 weeks.
Three picks in two games for him is insane. That might as well be 20.
That's a 24-pick pace if you're keeping score at home.
There's literally only two other quarterbacks that have thrown more than that in the NFL right now, and it's Carson Wentz, who has sucked.
Oh, he might get benched.
And Kirk Cousins, who has also had the opposite of MVP buzz this
year.
There's
been no buzz. What's the opposite of buzz? That's what he has right now.
Crickets.
He has MVP crickets is what he has. There he is. That's Kirk Cousins' music.
Can we change this to the Cam Newton buzz?
Ooh, Cam Newton buzz. There's Cam Newton buzz. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there's definitely buzz for Cam Newton. That's not a bad bet necessarily either.
And John, I'm hitting you with this, but I want to go to another Brewski cut here. The other one where Brewski correctly said that, look, let's be honest, so far, you're real happy with what you've seen out of Cam Newton. So far, you know, everything's gone as well as you could possibly expect. But at some point or another, maybe even this weekend against Las Vegas, he's going to run into some issues.
Things are still going good for Cam. Okay, week one goes good. You run for a bunch of touchdowns. You go to Seattle. I mean, you're throwing it for 400 yards. Wiggy's kissing your ass every time you talk on the radio. And all of a sudden, it's all good, right? But there's still some negativity coming. There's still some negativity coming with Cam. And there's going to be a little dips in how he deals with that. We'll see. But in terms of the adversity he's faced up to this point, I mean, that deficit I was talking about, Cam just stared it down, and they had a chance.
All right, so he's predicting.
Well, that
doom.
it's not gonna be great every single week.
Well, they haven't won every week. They lost. He threw a pick last week.
He did make an interesting point, by the way. He kind of agreed with us that that was a quote unquote good loss, or as he called it, a moral victory, quote unquote.
Oh, it definitely
was. But he also said you only get one of those a year. You get one moral victory a year. You can't have another one later on where, oh, you know that week two loss to Seattle? This was just as good a loss as that one was. He said you only get one.
See, I don't agree with that. If you play Kansas City super tough during the regular season in a couple of weeks and you lose to Kansas City, you can't say that you got something good out of that. That's the best team in football. They're even better than Seattle.
Or if you play Baltimore to a one-score game lose on the final drive.
Oh. There are some years where their schedule would not allow for any bad losses, but this is a year where the schedule's tough. So if you play a hard game against Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, say you slow their running game down, but you ultimately lose, yeah, you could have a couple more good losses. That's definitely possible.
I think his phrase was the moral victory thing. He said you only get one moral victory a year. And you know, he acknowledged this is probably that. And despite the fact that Bill Belichick was, you know, dressed like a zombie hunter yesterday, I mean, even he probably would acknowledge in his private moments that was not bad.
No, it wasn't. I think
you won't admit it, but
you learned a lot about him. And I think it has to be when you're playing against a really great opponent. And if you're able to, keep it close, especially you're a team that's not a Super Bowl favorite. Like, that's the other thing is for so many years, the Patriots were a Super Bowl favorite. So it was much harder to come up with, you know, good losses in there. But now you're in that group that, okay, that might qualify certain weeks, especially when you're playing all the best teams in the league.
I'll be curious to see, because I heard Christian was on the Greg Hill Show this morning. And if you think Teddy Bruschi was gloom and doom, Christian today said the Patriots are going to lose to Las Vegas this weekend. He's predicting a loss to the Raiders, that despite the fact that they played Monday night and they're traveling east and they're playing at 1 o'clock, normal clock time, but 10 a.m. in the morning body time, he thinks the Raiders are going to come in here and bounce the Patriots. That would be one of those Teddy Bruschi moments of not doom and gloom, but uh-oh, a little something going on here.
So I don't think I mean, the Raiders aren't bad. You know, that's a pretty good team. I think if the Patriots beat the Seahawks, if Newton scores on that last play, they go up 2-0, then everybody is to the Patriots. Then they might lose to the Raiders.
It wouldn't just be Wiggy?
No, it'd be everybody. If they beat the Seahawks, everybody would be feeling that way. That's it, Glenn. Then I think it's the classic kind of like trap game, or not the trap, whatever you call it, like the fall back. Like they would lose. But because they lost, and Bill Belichick hasn't slept in a week, I think they are going to beat the Raiders.
You want a bold prediction for the Patriots game?
Of course I do, Sean.
Sony Michel runs for over 100 yards in a Patriots win. That's how bold I got.
You mean like before the game, like warming up, he runs all the way down the field?
No, like
I can
in the
maybe
game,
see that.
Like in the game, gets 100 plus yards.
It's the dumbest thing you've ever said. Sony Michel.
The guy who plays Raiders running back for the Patriots? This Raiders defense is not good. Alvin Kamara literally had his way with this team.
Alvin Kamara.
Can you let me finish
You're
my statement?
You're comparing Sony Michel to Alvin Kamara?
I was going to say, Alvin Kamara had his way with this team.
Okay.
So if you take
ten
steps down to Sony Michel.
Yeah, he'll get 10 yards. No. He'll have 10 yards.
McCaffrey had a good game against him week one, too.
Team, but yeah, he'll play well.
Yeah, you're right. McCaffrey and Kamara were able to get to him. So who's next in line?
I think combined they'll run for 250 yards on this team.
Out of your mind. The one good thing, for the Pats is Richie Incognito just went on the IR, so their offensive line's not as good.
J.J. Taylor might be the best running back the Raiders have faced so far this year,
If you told me Taylor got 100 yards, I'd buy that more than Sony Michel getting 100 yards.
Well, they'd have to put him on the field first, right? No, Rex Burkhead's not getting 100 either.
How many games does Sony Michel need to play to get to 100 yards?
10.
Might be 10.
100.
100 games.
When we come back, Peter King from NBC Sports and Football Morning in America will join us. It's Dale and Keefe, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
I'm sorry, that's now the new theme song for this segment every week. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline, Peter King of NBC Sports and Football Morning in America. Peter, brought to you by Town Fair Tire and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. You like starting your day with the Doobie Brothers, right, Peter?
That's a great song. I love it. I love so much about what they did, and I listen to it to this day. So I'm very happy that that'll be my theme music.
Yesterday, Teddy Bruschi on the radio station said you get one moral victory a year as far as he's concerned. Would you consider the Patriots' loss Sunday night in Seattle a moral victory?
100%, yeah. You know, you watch the game, and I think most people, even though we're probably very, very early in saying this, most people would say that the Seattle Seahawks are a top five team, and the Patriots might be, but they aren't now. And I think to go on the road 3,000 miles across the country and to play as well as they did, and Cam Newton fitting in so quickly, you know, doing everything with Josh McDaniels that everybody thought might take 8 weeks. And now in the second week of the season, it looks like he's been in this offense for a long time. So, yeah, I would say, and look, every week I've got to do a video for NBCSports.com. And so this week I decided to do it. I was so impressed with what Russell Wilson did against the New England rush. And when you consider that, that basically three of his touchdown passes, three of them, that were longer than 25 yards in the air. And on every one of them, he got hit, two of them significantly. And you know, the Patriots didn't do anything wrong. Russell Wilson right now is just a fantastic player when under pressure. And so I don't think the Patriots played poorly at all. I think they played well.
I feel like we asked you last year, just about every week, Peter, up until the trade deadline, if the Patriots were going to go out and acquire somebody to help them at receiver or tight end. They ultimately got Mohamed Sanu, and that didn't work out. Feels like maybe a similar situation this year. Would you expect them, or should they, try to address the tight end position, which I know they did in the draft, but those guys haven't done anything yet, or the receiver group, which is played pretty well against Seattle, but is a pretty thin group as well.
Well, if you consider that they really didn't do anything to the wide receivers between the end of last year and the beginning of this year, except get rid of Dorsett and Sanu, I mean, which is not exactly a positive. Look, I think it's too early right now to say that they absolutely should do something, but they're probably going to have to do something. You look at this division right now, and, you know, there's two teams that have separated themselves now, you know, the Bills and the Patriots. And I think we really don't know where either team is going to be specifically by week eight. And that's why I think it's easy to say, yeah, I really think they need to go after a receiver or a tight end. But, you know, you have to give this season a little bit of time to breathe. I would say probably, but I don't know for sure yet. I don't know how you can know for sure right now.
Are you a believer in the Las Vegas Raiders who come to town this weekend with a perfect 2-0 record?
I'll tell you, if you had asked me at the end of the first quarter on Monday night, I would have said no. But then as that game went along, you know, you see that their weaponry, particularly their young tight end, Darren Waller, you know, their weaponry is pretty damn good. And you know, we've all thought that, you know, Derek Carr is sort of the AFC's Kirk Cousins. You know, he can have some good days and he can have some terrible days. And so I think what I saw the other night against New Orleans tells me that they're probably a little bit better than I thought, even though I picked them to be a wild card team this year. I was really impressed. Plus, the other thing I was impressed with is that they can put some pressure on the quarterback. So I think this is going to be a challenge, not only, you know, in stopping their offensive weapons, which I think the Patriots can do, but in also holding out a pretty good front seven.
Peter, do you think Rob Gronkowski regrets coming out of retirement?
I doubt it. I don't think he thinks that deeply. and I'm not saying something to poke fun at him. But I just think he said, "Hey, this will be cool. I get to play with Tom again." And really, you know what Rob Gronkowski what he did? He basically knew that he was signing a contract to play football for five more months. That's it. It's not like, you know, he had to totally, absolutely change his life for the next 3 years. I mean, I'm pretty sure this is a one and done deal with him. And time will tell, obviously. But I think that Bruce Arians is probably now looking at Gronk in a little bit of a different light. You know, when I was there a month before the season started, it was pretty clear that they wanted him to be their red zone guy. And he still may be their red zone guy, okay? But the fact is, he hasn't been particularly effective at anything so far in eight quarters. And again, I also think this is one of these deals where, and it sounds odd when you have Gronkowski on your team. Tom Brady is, and I'm going to be a little bit hyperbolic here, he's trying to save O.J. Howard's career. And the Bucs know that they drafted O.J. Howard as the first tight end in the draft 3 years ago, and they never have gotten their money's worth out of him. And so they're trying to, in year four, with O.J. Howard, make him the great player that they thought he was. And believe me, I mean, I saw it with my own eyes over two practices. Brady spent more time individually with O.J. Howard than anybody in those 2 days. So it's clear that they're trying their absolute best to make sure that O.J. Howard becomes a great part of this offense. So, and again, I don't think they need Gronk to be really great. I think they need him to be, in essence, a spot player, and they need him to be really good in December and January.
Peter, word today is that Turner Sports is extending their Major League Baseball deal for 7 years at $535 million a year, 65% increase over what they had been paying. I bring it up because there is also word that Fox is about to pay $2 billion a year for NFL rights, basically doubling what they're paying now. So much for the demise of TV sports packages, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL has thought all along that that the television was going to come in somewhere north of 60% increase over their current deal. And look, the NFL, you know, one of the reasons I think they really want to get these things done now is that I think they understand that there's a chance that the economic disaster in the United States continues into 2021. And if that happens, and if, again, there's limited attendance at games in 2021, and again, look, no one knows what's going to happen, but I do think the NFL felt like we would really like to get these things done this year. I think their big challenge now is going to be, because I know they're trying very hard right now to get a package of games on a streaming service, whether it be Amazon, whether, you know, whether it be Google, you know, whatever. They're trying to do that. The reason they're trying to do that is that the pockets are so deep at places like that, places like Facebook. And so if they could get a package of, let's say, 10 games, and look, next year, when they go to the 17-game schedule, think of this, all right? When they go to the 17-game schedule, they essentially are going to have 273 games, regular season games to play. And right now they've got 256. So if you were to just think of that for a moment, okay, if you were to just think of the extra week of games, you have an extra package that you can fool around with, basically. So I think the NFL believes that, and again, look, I just heard that thing about Fox as well. But I think the NFL believes that it won't only be – I'll be surprised if this contract does not include something significant for streaming.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter King, Football Morning in America, NBC Sports. Yeah, some of the TV numbers that are out there, Rich, are frankly shocking. Veteran analysts in the TV business, Fox is basically going to double the billion they're paying now.
Yeah, it's
per
crazy.
Year.
Yeah.
NBC's going to pay. I mean, they're all, and word is, you know, ABC wants to get back into it, you know, pretty significantly.
Yeah.
Everybody wants in.
Well, think about it. What on TV gets more people watching than football?
Nothing. When you look at all the numbers, we were joking about how the Patriots Sunday night rating was down
right.
over what it had been, and it was by far the most watched show on TV last week.
Right, exactly.
I mean, not even close.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's still not close, and that's what everybody says. Like, oh, it's going down. It's like, yeah, well, compared to what? Like the best basketball, best hockey, best baseball, best TV drama,
it even beat America's
shows.
Got Talent, for crying out loud.
There you go.
Which
enough
I
said.
Won't watch anyway, but it's going to beat that. So there was a segment that ran yesterday, which John Anderson got very excited about. I noticed on Twitter he was marking out to the segment that ran yesterday.
Did he do the puppet gif?
Well, no, he didn't.
His version of it.
He wasn't that excited.
No, he's got a different
gif. My version of the puppet gif is just a tweet to the stream promoting our place of work, Keith.
It's very nice of you to do that. Yeah, that's great.
Well done. We'll give you an opportunity. Now and then. We'll give you an opportunity to hear what it was like yesterday. It has to do with Wiggy and some other stuff. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back.
Don't bleep and sugarcoat this, Arnold.
To Dale and Keith.
Why are we yelling?
This is WEEI.
I saw a Twitter argument. In which the claim was that the Prince song catalog was more impressive than the Michael Jackson catalog. Discuss.
So not factoring in that Michael Jackson was a monster.
Leaving that note, just talking about the song catalog.
Just song catalog.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I think Prince might be better.
Prince also is one of like the greatest guitarists of all time, too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, so are we talking about who's the better?
Not that being able to sing and dance makes Michael Jackson lesser than Prince, but I tend to opt for the guitarist.
You know, I saw a Michael Jackson impersonator once live. Put on a heck of a show.
Wow.
Yeah, put on a heck of a show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This was a while ago, so I think there was like people knew that he was a creep, but it wasn't like full gone like.
When
all
Bruno Mars
details.
Does the impersonation, also really
Bruno's good.
Bruno's great.
He did it on an SNL skit one time, and I, for one, was laughing hysterically.
I would say Prince greater than Michael Jackson, though.
That was what the argument that was going on Twitter, and this was all because of the whole Rolling Stone top 500 albums of all time thing. And
then, John, I think we could all agree Blink 182 greater than all of them.
Top five band of all time.
By the way, Rolling Stone, Travis Barker is their third greatest drummer of all time.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh,
behind only Keith Moon and the Led Zeppelin drummer who
pretty
choked
good.
On his own vomit.
Didn't the Def Leppard drummer only have one hand?
He did.
One arm?
He had like multiple foot pedals, though, and he could still really give you the drum that you needed.
Didn't they do that whole thing, too, with the drum kit? Wouldn't they like rotate it and stuff and spin it? And
then, of course, there's bands like Slipknot who have two drummers because there's just so much action going on.
So much percussion.
They got two guys going crazy. They lift them up. They turn them upside down.
They want your head to be thumping like those drums.
Yeah.
You got to find you someone that you love as much as Rich Keefe loves Blink 182.
They're a good band.
Or as much as Wiggy likes him some Cam Newton. And
he's
that's impossible.
Well, it's funny because I thought I was one of the bigger Cam Newton fans. I thought our guy Shime here was one of the bigger Cam Newton fans.
Not even close.
We've been left in the dust. I was so happy when they signed him. I said there was never a doubt. I said Stidham Schmidham. I'm like, you'll never see this guy again. And now introduce Wiggy to the conversation. It's like, forget about it. I look like a hater compared to Wiggy.
So that brought up something that occurred yesterday on OMF's program. And let's just say, you know, don't be afraid if you're a producer of the program, John or Shime, to, you know, give some quality content like we heard yesterday. I mean, don't be afraid.
Calling us out.
Wow.
We
can't just celebrate Ryan from the OMF? You're going to bag on John and Shime?
Was this their answer to Karaoke Tuesday, do you think?
I was going
to
say, Shime has like five segments a week, though. What
are
you talking about?
Belly laughs every Friday.
What are you talking about?
You do that. All right, so Ryan yesterday on OMF dropped this gem.
I know as a player who was in a role before of not getting what I feel like I deserve, what type of motivation does that make you have? Because I'm your number one fan when it talks to get you an extension. So if you need an agent, I'm a guy that you need to have on your team. And I truly believe this team should do that.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
Dear Cam, you might remember me from my radio show. My name is Jermaine Wiggins, but you can call me Wiggy Bro. I wish we could talk more, but you're here to talk to Hillman. Greg is cool and all, but, you know, I'm the real fan. Sometimes I wish it was just you and I on the call. But anyways, kid, what's been up, man? You like football? I used to play football, too. I'm the baddest kid from Eastie. And I've seen you on the field. Hey, do you think that you can teach me? I heard that you were left to die in Carolina, too. I'm sorry. They left me on Sunday mornings with Mark James and Courtney Fallon. I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. Don't let the Brady talk get to you. We both know that you're the man. I got a room full of your jerseys and your pictures on my wall. My wife isn't happy about that, so now I'm sleeping in the hall. Anyways, just wanted to give you a shout. It's your number one Jermaine, but call me Wiggy. Hashtag Wigs out.
Now, Kim, one of the things that, you know, I kind of touched a little bit about is, you know, as fans here, we've known one guy for so long, Tom Brady, and that's why we're all hopeful that there'll be some type of contract extension. Hopefully this does present itself where they, you know, were to come to you and say, hey, listen, we want to do something with you this season, during the season. Would you do it? Cam Newton is a very, very attractive man.
Dear Mr. Alexander McQueen shoots with a rollie match. This will be the last time that I ever obsess over your ass. It's been 2 days and still no word. Do I deserve this? I take enough shit as it is from those two nitwits, Ken and Curtis. I'm pouring out my soul to you. I have to get this off my chest. I want to be your agent and you ignore me. You're just like all the rest. Hey, Cam, just bought a Brian Hoyer jersey. Dare me to wear it? You know that song by Phil Collins in the air tonight about that guy who couldn't save that other guy from drowning but didn't? Yeah, I don't know it either. Must be some white people-ish. You were going to be a star, Cam. You were going to make me proud. You look so good in those football pants. Wait, did I say that out loud? And all I wanted was a lousy selfie or a pair of shoes. The two of us need to be together. I've come too far to lose. I love you, Cam. Hey, Cam, that's Nick Fitzsimmons locked up in the trunk. He says he's a super fan. He says he loves you more. That's why I booted him to middays and kicked his dumbass out the door. And Jerry Thornton better watch his mouth because I'm coming for him, too. And by the way, Belichick wanted me to ask.
So we boy Lou?
Pretty darn good.
Should we be worried about Fitzy coming in tomorrow? He sounds a little bit
gagged
and tied up in the back of the truck there.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's all right. He's back in tomorrow. But yeah, that's about right.
It's pretty close to accurate, isn't it?
Cam Newton, Jermaine Wiggins.
So do you guys understand what the term Stan means now?
You're talking to me?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind? What were we, one
every
when that album
we,
came
every
out?
Time we say Shanistan, you guys are like, what are you talking about? What does that even mean?
Have I ever said that?
Yes, you have.
Have I ever said that?
Yes.
You are such an idiot. if you don't think I know what Stan means, were you even alive when that video came out?
Nope.
Okay, that's my point. Everybody knows what Stan means. I think we
not
might
you.
Question why you like Kyle Shanahan so much. What do you mean I don't know what it means?
That's what we question.
How on earth can I not know what that means?
You said you didn't know what it means. All I got
to
go off of...
Stan somebody? You are so... You get dumber by the day. It's insane. You would think somebody would get better. That you every day you'd get a little bit better. You might start at the ground, which you did, actually
right,
below the
break.
Ground. And then you'd get a little bit better. And maybe one day you'd be a horrible producer and not the worst ever. And you're not there yet. You're not there yet. Please switch with Ryan. By the way, great job, Ryan.
When we come back,
I'm
we'll
not
talk
done.
About...
I'm not
oh, okay. I'll just go ahead. Let her rip. When we come back, we'll talk about the Celtics' long night last night in the bubble in Orlando. Daily Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.